Welcome to the Energy Medicine Summit, where you'll discover how to take your health into your own hands from today's top energy medicine experts and healers. Share this event with your friends and family, and come join us on Facebook at the Shift Network. And now your host, Chris Ferraro.
Welcome, everyone, to the 2020 Energy Medicine and Healing Summit. I am one of your hosts. I am an energy coach and author, Chris Ferraro, and I have the incredible job of connecting with my energy brothers and sisters from all over, from so many different modalities that are here to share wisdom and what I'm finding is a great deal of comfort at this time. So our topic today is going to be fascinating for me personally. We're going to be talking about chakras, charge, and the energy body. The life force energy is the most important thing we can cultivate, which is so true. Anadeya Judith calls this energy charge and describes how it works with our inner psychology. Discover the energetic nature of anxiety, depression, trauma, and how charge works within each of our chakras to bring us to awakened aliveness, health, and balance. So our person that we have here, our expert, is really more of a legend. Anadeya Judith, PhD, is a best-selling author and leading thought leader on chakras, healing, and evolution. She is the founder and director of Sacred Centers, and she has written 9 books and teaches her workshops and trainings worldwide. Welcome, Anadeya.
Thank you so much, Chris. Delighted to be here and talk about this.
So Anadeya, I'm very curious. You know, I've heard the word energy called probably 100 different things over the years. I've never actually heard it been called charge. So what is it that you mean by that?
I like the word charge because anybody can relate to it. And when I say charge, I mean the same thing as all those words you've heard, you know, chi, prana, libido, Star Wars calls it the force. It's all the same thing. But the reason I like the word charge is I can say to a client, oh, you still have a lot of charge on your ex-husband, don't you? Or, you know, somebody can say to their partner, you have a lot of charge when you say that. Or you can say to a kid, you're all charged up about Christmas, and they know what you mean. You wouldn't say you have a lot of chi about your ex-husband. You know, it doesn't quite make sense. But the other thing I like about it, because I like acronyms, is that it stands for consciousness having a really genuine experience, charge, consciousness having a really genuine experience. Because when someone is in their charge, when I'm sitting with a client and they're in the depths of their grief or their fear or their joy, they know they're alive. They know that no one says, am I really experiencing this? They know they're in their core. They know they're in the life force, and it is unmistakable. So I like to use the word charge, and then we can talk about charging and discharging and how we balance the charge and all these things that I hope we'll get into in this talk.
Well, I appreciate you calling it charge because the word trigger has become a very mainstream word. Not that that's a bad thing. It's actually a really good thing. People are becoming aware that when they have certain experiences, it activates something within them that is uncomfortable. Where I think that for, you know, throughout history, right, we always just blame whatever's happening outside of us for it. So there's a more of a realization than ever before that it is activating something from within. So how does this role play in our defensive behaviors, addictions? We've got a lot of people now that have come out of recovery and are actively in addictions because of the stress of our current times and the fears, which is so prevalent right now.
Well, I teach people to look at those triggers as charge coming through their body. So let me give you an example. Let's say I'm working with a couple in therapy, and one person says something and the other one gets really triggered by it. We have all been there in our relationships where either we get triggered or our partner gets triggered, or more often, both people get triggered. And when someone gets triggered, let's say the wife gets triggered, I would say, okay, stop for a moment and feel the charge in your body. Feel the sensation of that charge. Where is it? What is it doing? She might say, oh, I'm clenching my jaw and it's all caught up in my throat. She might say, oh, my heart's beating really fast. She might say, oh, my stomach is gripped into a knot. And by framing it as charge and that it's her charge, she can start to follow that charge, what it wants to do, where it wants to go, how she's blocking it. And by unblocking the charge and letting it flow back into her body instead of tightening up against it, she can actually handle the trigger. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the other person. She's handling that in herself. Then she can come back to the issue without so much charge in the way.
So this is very much an inside out approach and a very body centered approach to psychology. So you're working with a couple where in traditional, you know, couples counseling, there would be, talking it all out. And it sounds like you're really directing them into a place where they're becoming really embodied. And in that, the charge can be released.
The charge can be released or managed or harvested is one of my words, where you take the charge and let it happen in your tissues. You harvest it. So you're actually harvesting your aliveness. You know, instead of tapping it away or blocking it or discharging it, you actually harvest it into your tissues. And then you become more awake, more aware, more alive, and more integrated. But yeah, so it's not just a mental thing, although the couple might talk out their issues. But when one person is really charged or triggered, it's really hard to rationally talk out the issues. That person has to get a handle on managing their charge before they're even able to hear any more from their partner. You know, you can't tell anybody anything when they're full of charge and they're in their defensive reaction.
Right, because there's complex physiological, hormonal, chemical reactions that are happening in the body. And, you know, I often tell people we can't really talk ourselves out of the way that we feel, right? And often it's because of the physiology that's happening within the body. And yet people can really blame themselves. I shouldn't have been this angry, or I shouldn't have reacted that way. And also try to apply logic to emotions, which are not a logical experience. So, you know, so we have these charges going on. Can you give some examples of ways that people can move out of the comfort zone and get past those charges and be in a new way of being?
Yeah. So let me talk about the comfort zone for a moment and how I see it in relation to energy and charge. Some people really like to be at a high charge level. They're the people that are busy all the time doing things. They're uncomfortable when their charge goes too low. They say, oh, I got to have a cup of coffee. I got to go create a crisis. I got to do something to bring the charge up. Then there's other people that are more comfortable at a low charge level. They like to chill. They like to take it easy. They don't want things to get too high. You know, they don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to take risks. Neither one of these is right or wrong. It's just people's preference. And some people are right in the middle. They don't want to go too high. They don't want to go too low. High charge is good for getting things done. Low charge is good for accessing like deep states of meditation, for being able to sleep deeply, to rest, to relax. So we want to have a full range in both directions. The trouble is, if we're uncomfortable with either a high charge or a low charge or both, then we have a narrow comfort zone and we don't have much room in our life. That means we have to control everything around us. And that's kind of a neurotic behavior that, you know, inconveniences yourself and other people. So I don't advise clients to jump over the comfort zone because that makes them more uncomfortable. I advise them and help them expand the comfort zone. So if your comfort zone's only this big, you're really tight and anxious in there. But if you can make it this big, you can relax a little. If you can make it this big, you can relax even more. if you can make it this big, you have a lot of room to relax, but you're still comfortable. And I do that by dissolving the blockages, because what makes us uncomfortable is when the charge or the energy hits the block. So let's say I want to speak up in a big classroom or a big hall or something, and I'm raising my hand and the time comes to call on me, and oh, they've called on me. And all of a sudden the charge goes up into your throat and locks up at the same time. And you go, oh my God, I don't want this to happen. And I'm all locking up, and here is my moment to speak, and my heart's beating rapidly. And that is where and that's a very uncomfortable state. That's where the charge is meeting the block, say the block in the throat chakra. By softening that block, you can allow the charge to move, and then it's not so uncomfortable. And the reason it's uncomfortable is charge wants to push through the block. That's what it's trying to do. And you might say, of course, we want to push through our blocks. We all do. Clients come to me and say, I'm here because I want to get through my blocks. But those blocks were put there once upon a time for a very good reason. And so the unconscious does not yet know that it's safe to move the block. It has a habit in the body. It has a habit in the nervous system. And when the charge pushes up and says, okay, let go, the block says, yeah, but I don't wanna. I don't know if it's safe. I don't know if it can. I don't know how. And there's a struggle, and that struggle is very uncomfortable. So when you soften it, then there's more room and the charge can move through the body like it is supposed to.
So while you were speaking, I just couldn't stop vigorously nodding, because I think that those of us that are working with people that have anxiety, that are working with people with depression, are finding so often that these systems have been put into place long ago to keep that person safe. And, you know, you'll have people that will come and say, well, I've tried everything, right? I've tried everything to change this pattern. I've tried everything to change this wound. And it's still there because that system is there for a purpose, and it's not safe to release that yet. So can you give some examples of how you soften those blockages and those safety mechanisms and those things that are in the unconscious that have been there for so long?
Yeah. And before I do that, I'd like to just respond to something that you just said about how we can know about our problems and talk about them, but it doesn't necessarily change it. Because I find that all the time. People come and say, I've done 10 years of therapy. I know my mother was too busy for me, and my father did this, and my brother hated me, and blah, 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 but it hasn't changed. And that is because what we call a psychological complex, which consists of emotions and perhaps some memories and some behaviors and some beliefs and just sensations. These are all components of a complex that are fused together with charge. In other words, charge is the glue of a complex. So you can understand your complex, but if you haven't discharged the glue that is holding all those parts together, then you can't change it. But when you can discharge that energy, then the glue lets go and all those components can make a new configuration, so that every time you hear this, you don't automatically go to fear and then do a behavior of shutting down and then have this thought that I'm no good and have all those things that as soon as one gets triggered, all the other ones do because they're glued together. Once you discharge it, you can have a new experience. So how do we soften the blocks? I'll go to that question now. When we experience it, well, this is how I train people. I train my students, I train my clients in understanding this. But briefly, it is to experience the charge. Oh, where is it in my body? Oh, my heart is beating, so it must be up in my chest, or my shoulders are locking up, so it must be up here. I'm getting a headache, it must be up there. You know, to find what your sensations are. And then the critical question here is, what am I doing, usually muscularly or energetically, sometimes in thoughts, what am I doing to block this charge? And that's a different kind of question than what people are used to thinking about. It's not who did this to me and what can I do about it? It's, oh, what am I doing up here in my throat that's making my voice go really tiny, how I can hardly get it out, and I'm all so tight I can't get a deep breath, right? So when I see a client going into that, which happens a lot, then I know, oh, they're constricting in their chest, they're constricting in their shoulders, they're maybe locking their jaw. And I can often see it, but I'll ask, you know, so what are you doing to feel the charge and what are you doing to block it? Now, here's the counterintuitive trick that works like a charm. So if they can name it, they say, oh, well, I'm tightening my shoulders. So I'll say, can you do that a little bit more? Now, this is actually heightening the response of the block. So doing it more, if I was doing my shoulders, might look, and I tell them to go very slowly, might look like this. Okay, the shoulders are coming up toward my ears, and I let my whole body follow that, and maybe my chest collapses, and now maybe my hands are coming over, and now maybe my head wants to go down. So I let them slowly follow the body into its whole response of how it's blocking, and just go to the extreme of that, whatever it is. Sometimes they roll up in a ball on the floor. And then once they go there, to just as slowly undo it, you know, about as fast as I'm moving right now. And it has to be slow to work. And as they undo it, the charge starts to move and they might feel a bit of warmth. They might feel some tingling. I often notice people kind of sit up straighter. They take a deep breath. They just sort of relax a little. They open their eyes, they look at me and they go, wow, something shifted. And this takes about 3 minutes. You know, sometimes I can do a process that takes longer. But what it does is it lets them go to what the unconscious is doing to block, complete it, get the message from the body of what that was. So maybe they're curled up in a ball and they say, oh, I don't feel safe. That's what, you know, their little kid's saying. Okay, once they get that message, then they can start to undo that. The body doesn't have to carry it anymore. And as the body slowly relaxes, the charge can move. If you do it quickly, if you go from here to here like that, it doesn't work. The brain-body interface can't track it that fast. And it gets too scary because it releases too much charge at once. But slowly, you can actually incorporate that. Everything softens and a person has more room for themselves. And they're comfortable.
What's so life-affirming about this is that the charge is allowed. It's allowed. Yeah. It's allowed to be there. It's allowed to be experienced. It's allowed to be seen, heard. They're with it. And, you know, and often people are, we're just in so, you know, so much resistance to just feeling our feelings, right? To being in those states. Mm-hmm. And we know that they can shift really quickly. So this just sounds so spot on. Of everything that I am finding in the work that I am doing, that if we can embrace and allow, and you know, I you know, it sounds a little dramatic, but I tell my clients, you have to rush back into the burning house. Yeah. You know, and it's a metaphor, right? Because we, you know, the instinct, the survival instinct is I got to get out of the burning house. And right. And I said, you have to move against that instinct and go back into the burning house and experience what's happening there. And if you do, you'll get out on the other side, right? The only way out is through. So you talk about these charges.
Helps someone be comfortable as they go through. You know, it's like, I'm not saying go into the burning house with, you know, flammable material on for clothes. I'm saying, here's a fire suit. Now let's go back into the house. But here's the thing about the life force. And you got it exactly in what you said. The life force is golden. That's what we want. It's our aliveness. And we don't want to overly spend it, like get rid of it by charging, by crying all the time, by yelling, by discharging, because that's like spending all your money, you know, and then you don't have any. And we don't want to freeze it and lock it up. That's like having your account frozen where you can't withdraw any money when you need it. So we want it to be free flowing. It's a currency. And if we stay current with it, that currency flows through the whole body and we have a wealth of aliveness.
So you've done a lot of work with the chakras and how these, you know, how the charge, right, works within the chakras. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So let's first just talk about what a chakra is. It's an energy center. Most people have heard of that. And there's seven in the body, or different people have different systems of more, but I work with seven. And my definition of a chakra is it's an organizational center for the reception of life force energy, for the assimilation of it, meaning we take it in and assimilate it into knowledge or experience. We store it. Like you might store a memory and all your feelings about that, and we express it. So reception, assimilation, storage, and expression of life force energy. And yet each one of the chakras does these four functions on a different level, which I coordinate to their elements: earth, water, fire, air, sound, light, and consciousness. So charge has a purpose in each one of the chakras. So in the first chakra, we experience our charge most dramatically in the fight or flight reaction. You know, the amygdala gets triggered, the body floods with the stress hormones. Everything in the nervous system says, I'm in danger, I got to get out of here, or I got to dig my heels in and fight off the attacker, whatever it is. And some people get stuck in that fight or flight, or they get stuck in one side or the other. They're always running away, or they're always quick to be in the fight, be in the anger. And when you can actually harvest the charge, it gives you a sense of solidity. It's like the body fills with charge and says, ah, I'm here, I'm present, I'm solid, and I'm safe and I'm secure. In the second chakra, we experience charge primarily as emotion. Emotion is charge in movement, and all emotion has a charge. It has a different degree of charge. For instance, irritation is a mild charge, anger is a heavier charge, and rage is a really strong charge. But they're all continuum on the same thing. So it's energy in motion that is the different emotions. And also in second chakra, you might say there is erotic charge. We all know what it is to have a sexual charge to be turned on. And, you know, charging is to flirt or to engage in foreplay, and discharging is having an orgasm. So second chakra charging is to feel an emotion, and discharging is to express it. So we're charging and discharging in each chakra as well. And we want to have that charging and discharging be in balance. In third chakra, the power chakra in the solar plexus, charge arises for the purpose of action. It wants to do something. You read the news and you go, oh, I got to do something about this. Or, you know, you have feelings and you say, I need to do something to change my circumstances. And charge arises for that purpose. When we are blocked, however, from doing something, like there's nothing we can do, or we're scared to take action, or we have an experience from our childhood where we were punished for acting out or taking action, and then we're scared to do it. We don't know if we're allowed. We don't know if it's okay. We don't know what to do. Then that charge gets blocked in the third chakra, and it can take two forms. It can either become anxiety. Oh, I got a lot of charge in here, but I don't know what to do with it. Or we can just suppress it, push it down, and then it can look like depression. Oh, I don't have any energy. The energy is actually there, but it's suppressed. It's buried. It's like the account is frozen. And both of those can be remedied somewhat by giving a person something to do, even anything, you know, just start to get the energy moving, have them pound with their hands, have them make noise, have them stamp their feet, just something to get the energy moving will start to free up the anxiety or the depression because they have more access to their charge. In the heart chakra, charge is love. We get charged up as children by the love from our parents. when we are, you know, lose a loved one, there's a tremendous collapse because our heart is hurt and there's a, you know, a collapse and emptiness of charge. And so that's the currency of the heart chakra in charge. It's love. In the throat chakra, charge arises for the purpose of communication. We want to say something and we can feel we're in a discussion and something comes up into our throat that's really, you know, vulnerable or really important to say, but we might be scared to say it. And we can feel that charge right up in the throat. We can also get charged or even discharged by something someone says. Somebody can criticize us and all of a sudden we feel lots of charge. Or they can say something exciting and we get charged up because we've heard a new idea. So we get charge from conversation and we discharge through conversation. We discharge by letting it out. In the sixth chakra, which is about seeing, charge is in our imagination. And we know that what people imagine, even if it isn't true, can have tremendous charge. I imagine you're out to rip me off. I got a lot of charge around that. I imagine you're here to bring me benevolent blessings. That's a different kind of charge. I imagine that I'm safe. I imagine that I'm not safe. Both those kind of imaginings bring a kind of charge with them. And so we work with that. We work with vision. We work with intuition and the taking in of images and the expression and realization of them. And then in the seventh chakra, charge is basically awareness itself. When charge comes up in your body, you have an opportunity to be aware of something. You have an opportunity to be aware of what's going on in your heart as your heart is beating rapidly and what feelings and memories and associations are connected with that. So the more charge we have, the more awareness we have if that charge is managed properly. So that's an opening to consciousness. And we know that grace has charge and the universe has charge. And we want to be in a constant exchange between the inner world and the outer world and keep all the chakras in balance between charging and discharging.
That was a very fascinating summary of the chakras from an energetic standpoint. Everything that you said to be able to distill it down to its true essence, I think is going to be very, very helpful for everyone that's listening to this interview. And so I have a question that may seem a little bit out of the box. Is there a time when we want to keep a charge rather than block it or get rid of it? Is there a time when charge has value?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I was saying earlier, that charge is golden. It's like money in your bank account. You want to be able to keep it. And my word for that is to harvest it into your tissues. So, you know, when someone's really uncomfortable, let's say I'm working with a client and they've got a big charge up from some past trauma or a past memory, and they're sitting there really uncomfortable. They're not going to be able to harvest the charge in that moment. I can, you know, exaggerate their block and soften it, and they can absorb some of the charge and keep it. Or I can have them discharge so when there's not so much charge there, they can get comfortable again. But over time, I want to teach them to keep their charge. I want to teach them to bring it into their muscles, into their flesh, into their bones, into their awareness, into their emotions, into their energy body, basically. And the more they can keep it, the more alive they become. And the more in the center of their charge are, because the charge goes through the core mostly. I mean, it goes through other places too, but we want it to be primarily in the core. Then we are centered in our charge and we're literally in charge. We're in charge of ourselves.
And so these triggers, these, you know, these charges, these things that we make us uncomfortable, that we want to get rid of, that we want to run away from and avoid, end up becoming the juice to our life, right?
Absolutely.
So we end up having, so we have this full spectrum, right? There's this full spectrum where everything is allowed. And if we know what it is that we're experiencing and how to work with it, there's nothing really that's against us then.
That's right. That's right. And we have just blocked our life force because we were afraid of it. You were taught as a child, you're a big crybaby, or you're too noisy, or hold still, or, you know, you can't sit and concentrate, or, you know, we've been made wrong or bad for having this life force because it doesn't fit in neatly with our mother's plans. But we can reclaim that again for our full aliveness.
So, Anadea, is there any closing thoughts or a closing breath technique or something that you would like to leave the viewers with that they can use for themselves?
Well, I want to say something about charging and discharging. A basic rule is charging is taking from the outside and taking in. So the in-breath is charging. The more oxygen you take in, the more your charge goes up. Discharging is going from the inside out. So when I speak, when I shake my hands, when I stamp my feet, when I move, when I write, when I, you know, just take, when I cry, when I take what's inside and bring it out, I'm discharging. So we want to do those in balance. So, you know, I'll just do a quick heart chakra breath that I can do sitting in a chair that we can do right here. So put your hands on your shoulders and keep your elbows high as the shoulders. So don't let them go down like that. Have your chest lifted, your shoulders back. And I'm going to sit forward in my seat a little. And inhale, twist to the right and look over your right shoulder. Exhale, twist to the left, look over your left shoulder. Inhale through the mouth, inhale through the nose, exhale through the mouth. And really twist all the way, let your head follow. So you're looking back over each shoulder. And then come to center, and we're going to balance it by inhaling to the left, exhaling to the right. And again, look over each shoulder, get as much twisting movement as you can, keep your elbows high. In through the nose, out through the mouth. And then come to center, bring your hands to your lap, close your eyes for a moment, and feel that buzz of aliveness, of awareness. I feel like someone opened the window in the temple of my body and a nice breeze is blowing through. I'm more aware of my hands, my arms, my chest, my posture, my belly. And as I sit here, I can harvest that charge into my tissues and become more centered and more alive. So I have exercises like that for each chakra.
Anadea, thank you so much. There are people in the field of psychology that are advancing this work forward in ways that where people are getting real results. They're getting true relief. They're falling back in love with themselves and their lives. And the work that you're doing is such a part of that. So thank you for all that you are doing. And thank you for spending this time with us. Can you let our viewers know how they can find out more about you and your programs?
Yeah, AnadeaJudith.com is my main website. And if you want to learn more about charge, I have something called the Charge Mastery Program. It's a self-paced video program that takes all this stuff with exercises for each chakra and theory and practice and relationships and all that we've been talking about. There is also, if you want something shorter, there's chakra tune-ups. And you can also find out a lot of the information in this book, Charge and the Energy Body. But the videos in the Charge Mastery Program give you the exercises where you can actually experience this for yourself. AnadeaJudith.com, A-N-O-D-E-A, Judith, J-U-D-I-T-H.com.
Thank you so much for being with us and sharing all of your expertise. For our Shift viewers, thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us. Thank you for being open to looking at ways of feeling better, both physically and emotionally, that are, you know, beyond anything that we've ever been taught. We are living in a time of profound transformation and change. and where we have easier access to information than we've ever had before. And the information that's coming forward is here to serve all of us and to enable us to move through this time of such change. So thank you for being here. Tell a friend, let people know that this summit is available. You may be really helping someone out. And I wishing you all many blessings and beautifully balanced energy. And we hope that you join us for the rest of the summit. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Energy Medicine Summit, brought to you by the Shift Network. To learn more, visit energymedicinesummit.com. To join our global community of people awakening to their divine humanity and taking inspired action, visit theshiftnetwork.com. Thank you again for gathering with us and for sharing this healing path with your friends and family.